Okay, we're starting at the top of Lamed Amud Aleph. So there's some question as to whether this next piece is a continuation of the previous Gemara or is it a statement that stands alone. In the previous Gemara, it discussed the appropriate ages for someone to get married. And now we have the statement, Amalei Rava the Rav Natan Bar Ami, Adidach Atzavrei Debrech. While you still have your influence or ability to control, but in loose term, not your son, then you should, now according to the first Gersa, or the way Rashi reads it, the first is Mishitzar by Esrim Vitarte, from 16 until 22, you should marry off your son while you still have some influence or input as to whom he will marry. From 18 until 24. So that's the one way to read it. The other way to read it, which seems to make more sense with the continuation of the Gemara, is that while you still have influence or input over your child, you should be mochiachim. You should be madrichim on the proper way to act, the proper way to behave. What is the age between which a parent can influence or have input over their child? That's what Gemara says, is either 16 to 22 or 18 to 24. Because below that age, right, then the tochcha is not mikubal because he's too young to understand it. And above that age, then he's already, he will rebel, he'll leave, meaning that he won't accept tochcha anymore. He already feels independent, and therefore he won't, he'll reject it, and it may be even b'mfa'it. So that's the Rashi Weir points out, and he says that he thinks this is Gersa, or the second explanation is Ikar, and then he says that a person should make sure that he's not machbidi serim b'tochachot, that he's not over him, he's not too oppressive towards his children when he's providing these tochachot, but this is the appropriate age to provide such tochachot. Kitnai, similar to machloket tenayim, or like tenai that we have, hanoch lenar al pi darko, right, that you should direct the child, or each child, according to his way, but the way the Gemara is reading now is Al-Pi-Darko means give him an education or direct him so that he will stay on his path for the rest of his life. One says that's up from 16 to 22, from 18 until 24. So the same age ranges that we spoke about, right, of a 16 to 22 or 18 to 24 has to do with the proper time or the most appropriate and effective time to provide chinuch and tochcha towards the child. Now, Mark wants to know, we just saw before that there's a requirement or an obligation upon the father to teach Torah to his child. How far does that obligation go? Now, the question of how far this obligation goes here is bidorotah, meaning that to just your child, or to your grandchild, how far down does that obligation go? So I'm going to read on a Shmuel, go on Zvulun Ben Dan. So the time of Chacham, in the time of the Gemara, Zvulun Ben Dan, Shilimdo Avi Aviv Mikra, Mishnah, the Talmud, Halachot, Agadot. But his grandfather taught him, right, Torah, Mishnah, Talmud, Halachot, Agadot. So where it says, Meitvei, Lamdo Mikra, Eim Lamdo Mishnah. Right, that he has to teach him, or the obligation is only to teach him Torah. And when we say Torah here, it means not even Nevi'im Ketuvim, according to Rashi. And he doesn't have to teach him Mishnah. So how could you say that Zvulun Ben Dan was this example? Zvamarav, Mikra Zu Torah, Kizvulun Ben Dan. I mean, Mikra Zu Torah, Mikra means Torah. Kizvulun Ben Dan, Velo Kizvulun Ben Dan. The obligation of a grandfather towards a grandchild is like Zvulun Ben Dan and not like Zvulun Ben Dan. Why is that? Because Zvulun Ben Dan Shalom to Avi Avi, that the obligation to teach Torah is not only to one's child, but even to their grandchild. The locus Zvulun Ben Dan, but not similar to Zvulun Ben Dan, in that Ilu Hatam Mikra Mishnah Talmud Alachot Agadot, that grandfather taught him the entirety of Torah. Ilu Hacha, but here the loch is Mikra Levat. He only has to teach him Torah. That obligation is only on Torah Shvistav. But it says, is a grandfather really obligated to teach to the grandchild Torah? Atanya, don't we have a brisa? You have to teach your children, but not your grandchildren. Umani mekayim, what am I going to do with the pasuk in Devarim that says, "V'odata levanecha v'livnei vanecha," that you will tell your children and your grandchildren, right? All the things, all the stuff that transpired at Har Sinai. So what does that come to teach you? If that's not an obligation to teach your grandchild, then why is he talking about grandchildren? So that when a person teaches his child Torah, then it's as if he's taught him, his child, and his grandchild, meaning that there's a mesorah, or a chain, that he's generating by teaching his child, and therefore, when the Torah says, v'data v'necha v'zei v'necha, that's the idea, not that you literally are teaching your grandchild, but by teaching your child, you're almost ensuring that your grandchild and your zerach, your line, or your generations after you will still be persistent in Torah. So it says, who, da'amar ki haidana, that our Braisa over here, our Rabbi Yehuda ben Shmuel, who was making the statement that a grandfather is obligated to teach his grandchild, holds like this Tano. The Tanya of a Braisa, Limaratim Otamit B'nechem, Eni Elo B'nechem. I only have your children. B'nei B'nechem Inayim. I don't know grandchildren you're obligated to teach. Tama Lomar, Odatim Levanecha, Livnei Vanecha. Right, that you'll tell your children and your grandchildren. So this Tano thinks that that possible b'nei b'necha is an obligation, meaning that you must teach your children and your grandchildren, not just because you teach your child, your grandchild will know, but you must also teach your grandchild. In game, matam alomer b'nechem. So what are you going to do with b'nechem? It says matam alomer b'nechem, which seems to mean your children and not your grandchildren. There, Gemara says no. He'll use that as an exclusion. B'nechem v'lo b'notechem. That means your children, your male children, you're obligated to teach Torah to, but not your daughters. So, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Kol Malamid Etz Ben Bino Torah, Malei Alav HaKetuv Kilu Kiblah Mi Har Sinai. Whoever teaches his grandchild Torah, it's as if he received it from Har Sinai, Shneamar. So again, this is possible. Vodatim Levanecha Levnei Benecha, that you will give over to your children and your grandchildren the Samech Lay. What is it? What are you giving home to them? Yom Asher Amat Lefnei Hashem Lekecha B'choreif, the day that you stood in front of Hashem and Har Sinai. So there is seeing this juxtaposition in the pasuk to teach you that the Mesorah of Torah, passing on Torah to a grandchild, is the equivalent of standing at Har Sinai and being at the foot of Har Sinai in the chain of the Mesorah. So it's interesting in general that this pasuk generates some debate among the Rishonim about Datam Levanech Levanech. According to Rashi, Rashi La Torah is Mefarish, that pasuk was referring to Limana Torah, like the Gemara seems to indicate over here. And therefore, the pasuk is describing that one must pass on the Torah to his child and his grandchild. The Ramban Ala Torah describes over there about Datam Levanech Levanech is not an obligation to teach Torah, rather an obligation to pass on the experience of standing at Har Sinai. Not the actual content of Har Sinai, but the actual tekis of Har Sinai, meaning that there's also an experiential aspect of being at Har Sinai, nothing to do with the content that one must pass on or ensure that his children understand. Either way, according to Rashi and the Ramban, we're talking about Mesorah here, which is what's important, that ensuring the chain of the Mesorah, right, is Yom HaShem Matav Har Sinai, that it's equivalent to standing Har Sinai because of this unbroken chain of Mesorah that is teaching, and that's why it's especially important that the connection between the grandfather and the grandchild, that passing of the Mesorah, because that is makes the child or the grandchild feel or understand that the link is not just one generation, but goes back generation to generation. He walked off with called a dishcloth on his head. He was a Talmud Chacham. He was married. He had to have his head covered. He was supposed to go out, but he put something on his head that was not necessarily appropriate to his standing. He's rushing his children off to school to learn. So he says to him, "Rav Abba says to him, what are you doing? What are you running out in this manner where you're not dressed or you're fully dressed?" Amalei. Mizuta or my distiv, you take so lightly what's written in the Torah about datam levanecha, right? That you have to teach your children a samach layom asher matzav pnei Hashem elkecha b'choreiv, the day that you stood before Hashem on choreiv mikanvik. So that you're taking lightly the fact that education or teaching of Torah, right, is the equivalent of standing at Har Sinai. I'm running out because I got to get my children to school so they can be there to learn Torah and be as if they were at Har Sinai. So Mikan Ve'ilek, Rav Chir Ba'Abba, Lutayimumsa. From then on, Rav Chir Ba'Abba, who got this message from Yeshua ben Levi, stopped eating his breakfast before he left. Umsa is meat, that's roasted meat, that's put small pieces of roasted meat that are put on the coals that are brought. So he was eating, it was interesting, for breakfast they had this little piece of roasted meat for barbecued roasted meat in the morning. So he now deferred that breakfast to after he got his kids to school, until he taught the children, went over their learning from the day before, and then added one new pasuk. He taught them one new thing. So before he had his that breakfast, he would take care of the children, and because of this importance that, or the way that Rav Shimon Levi treated this aspect of teaching children, so there from then on, he also gave such respect or a priority to teaching the children. So the same thing, Rav Huna would not eat this breakfast of champions before he got his children to schools. Don't read Vishinantam. Shinantam, as we say, means to review, to go over. Shinun, or the Shanein, means to go over. Rashi points out over here that the reason that he thinks the Gemara is dashing over here is because it should have written the pasuk. If it wanted to say what we think it says, it should have said Vishanitim, right? So that you should yashli shame, right? So then the Gemara over here says that they play on the words. Because of that, it sounds like Vishinantam ela Vishilashtam, that you should go ahead and make it not two, but three. Olam Shalish Adam Shnotav, a person should divide his life into three parts. Shlish b'mikra, one third learning Torah. Shlish b'mishnah, one third of his life learning Mishnah. Shlish b'talmud, and one third of his life learning Talmud Gemara. Somebody says, Miyodea, Kamachayet, how can you divide your life up into thirds? You don't know how long you're going to live. You'd have to know your total age in order to divide your life up properly into thirds. Lo tzricha liyome. Somebody says, no, according to the days. Rashi learns the days means split your week up. Take your week, and you divide your week by the days into a third. A third of the days you'll do Mikra, a third of the days Mishnah, a third of the days you'll do Talmud. Tosu says, you haven't solved the problem, because you don't know how long you're going to live. I mean, how do you know if you're going to make it through the week or not? So Tosu says, when you're talking about Shlish, it means each day, right? A Shlish of each day. Every day, you should divide your day into a third, spending a third of your day with Mishnah, a third of your day with Mikra, and a third of your day with Talmud. And Tosu says, Kedarko B'Kodesh, always defends the Minhag Ha'am. So without saying the question, he says, well, we don't do that. How is it possible that we don't do that? We sit and learn Gemara all day. So there may no, right, the, Rabbeinu Tam, I think, was over here. Yeah, Rabbeinu Tam, Perish. Sha'anu somchim ha'adam rinim b'Sanhedrin. We're so much from what the Gemara says in Sanhedrin. Bavel. Why is it called Bavel? Right? It's Bula. Because it's all mixed up. Talmud Bavli is mixed up because it's Mikra, Mishnah, Gemara. They're all mixed together in the Talmud Bavli. So one who learns Gemara or Talmud Bavli gets a Mishnah, Mikra, Mishnah, and Gemara all included in one package. And that might be the reason why people aren't allocating separate time to the learning of Mikra and Mishnah. It's also why the just points out that Rav Amram was mataki in davening that every morning that we, before putting Pesukim Zimra, we say Mikra, Mishnah, and Gemara. Right, that's how we say over when we do the Birkat HaTorah, we say the Pesukim, we bring down Mishnayot, right? And then we also learn either a Braisa, which is the second thing we would say is a Braisa, or the Rabbi Shmuel. Very good. So Rabbi Shmuel is also a Midrash Halacha, so that would also be classified as Gemara. So we learn Mikra, Mishnah, and Gemara in the morning to be a part of this, or to mekayim this idea of being Mishalish. Okay, Lefika, Nikru Rishonim Sofrim, that the earlier generations were called Sofrim. Rashi says, what does it mean Sofrim? Because of the Pasuk in Divrei Yamim, which says, Mishpachot Sofrim Yashrei Yavatz, that the Mishpachot Sofrim, Sheyu Sofrim, Kol Yotiot B'Torah, they should count all the letters of the Torah. Tosfos, on the other hand, says that Yerushalmi suggests that they made all the Torah misparot. They made all the Torah numbers. Some of the ways to remember it through numbers. What is that? Sheyomrim. Vav de Gachon, Chetzion shel otiyot shel sefer Torah. The Vav and Gachon, right, in the middle of Bayikra, is the middle letter of the Torah. Dorosh, Dorash, right, by the parsha of the Sirosh Kodesh. Right, that Moshe and Aaron have a disagreement about what to do with it when it became Tamei after the death of Nadav Avihu. So that is Chetzian Shel Tevot. That's a halfway mark for words. Mit Galeach, and Mit Galeach is the halfway point for Sukkim. Even though we have a different Misora about where the halfway point is. Now, Yirka Semena Chazir Miyar. That pasuk in Tehillim, right? Ayin the Yar, Hetzion Shel Tehillim. The Ayin in Yar is the middle letter of Sefer Tehillim. V'hu Rachum Yechaper Avon is Tetzio de Psukim. It's halfway more in four Psukim. Vayir Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef asks the question here. Vav de Gachon. When we're talking about the Vav of Gachon, and we just said that was the middle letter of the Torah, Hagisum or Hagisum. When we say it's the middle letter, does it belong to the first half or the second half? Meaning that which half of the Torah, when you say it's the middle, it's the end of the first half of the Torah, it's the beginning of the second half. Interesting that he doesn't entertain the possibility that it really is the middle letter, right, that it is the middle letter. So I'm like, hey, but the answer is more interesting than the question. So when it says, Nite Sefer Torah v'Menimu, bring a Sefer Torah and count it. I mean, what's the question? I mean, you ask a question, go ahead, take out a Sefer Torah and you'll count all the letters. So where is it? Milo Amarab or Barbarachana, those who shall match you, Sefer Torah Manu. They brought exactly that. They didn't leave there until they brought a Sefer Torah and they counted it. So, what's the answer? Why doesn't give an answer? Why is that? Amalei, Inu, Biki, Bechaserot, Vietirot. They are experts. The time, in the early times, they were experts in the Mesorah for Chaserot and Yetirot. Which letters you added in when they didn't, like a Malay, and which ones were Chaser, were words that were Chaser. So if you know what the Malayot, the Chaserot are, or the Yetirot and Chaserot are, then you can count the letters. Anam lo Bikin. We don't know all of them, right? If we don't know Bikin, if we're not knowledgeable about all of them, then counting the letters is meaningless, because we don't know if it should be a Malay or a Chaser. Right, and then we can't count the letters. So that's the question, right? So the question you have to ask is then, what's the story with our Sifrei Torah? So the Shogis Ayah has a statement. He is a Shogis Ayah, one of his students says that the mitzvah to write a Sifrei Torah does not apply to Zman Hazeh because of this problem. We don't know the Yetirot and Chaserot, and therefore we are missing them, and you can't be Mekayim the mitzvah of Tiva Sifrei Torah because we're missing that mitzvah. Now the Menchus Tinoch, on the other hand, says that there is a machalik between different types of Yetirot and Chaserot. He says that we have a Mesorah, or a strong Mesorah, about the Yetirot and Chaserot, which make a difference in the meaning of the word. And that we have a strong Mesorah about, and that's why our Torahs are kosher or fine. Whereas there were other Chaserot and Yetirot that did not necessarily change the meaning of the word, and those were, because people weren't as makbid on them, they were lost. And so the difference in the Gemara, but what we're bekeen and not bekeen in has to do with which type of Chaserot and Yetirot. And the ones, so therefore he thinks maybe we could still be used, that could still be the kind of mitzvah to the Sefer Torah, because Chaserot and Yetirot that don't change the meaning are not makbid. And that's what the difference between this Gemara and our ability to have a proper Mesorah and have a kosher Sefer Torah. The same thing. And the psukim is hitkaleach from hitkaleach. Thank you. Says, all right, at least psukim we can count. I mean, if you say chaser yetirot, will make a difference. The psukim, the division of the psukim is standard, right? So Mara says psukim amel lo bikinin. We're not also not experts at this psukim. Why? The chiyat rav chacha beradam amar bar rabo. He says in Eretz Yisrael paske lehaykro leklatz psukim. They divided this pasuk up into three different psukim. Ayom Hashem Moshein Anuk Balech Bavana. So they broke that up into three psukim. We have it as one pasuk, and in Eretz Yisrael they had it as three psukim. So he says they have the same problem there, which is that we're not exactly sure or confident in our breakdown of the psukim. There are 5,888 psukim, other psukim of the Sefer Torah. Yeter alav tehilim shmona. Tehillim has 8 more psukim than that. Chaser mimenos has different girsos. Here are girsos of each mimenos. Divrei yomim shmona. Divrei yomim is 8 less psukim. As the Gruz girsos is Daniel. That chaser mimenos Daniel. Daniel has 8 less psukim than the Torah. Again, the number, of course, is going to be dependent on the previous gemara, which is how you are posting the psukim, right? Depending on how you divide up the psukim or where you divide the psukim will determine how you get to this number, whether you can get to this number of 5,888 or not. All right, Tanrabana. Vishinam Tam is a famous drasha. Vishinam Tam, what does it mean? Vishinam Tam means to go over it. Means Shei Divrei Torah Michudadim Beficha. You have to go over them, you have to chazer them so that they are strong and sharp, right, in your mind. Why is that? If someone asks you a question or a halacha, you should be able to answer right away and not hesitate. Hello, Mar Lo Miat. Say right away. Why is this? Shenemar, because it says, and Mar Lo Chochma Achotiat. Say to Chochma, Chochma referring to Torah, Achotiat, you are my sister. But Rashi aren't that you are sister Shasur Lacha. Just like your sister, you know for sure your sister is Asur to you. So too, you should know that Torah, right, or Torah so well. And again, the continuation of the pasuk is modela bina to crush it. Hey, you do alach, that it should be known to you, as Rashi points out. I think it is simply interpreted that just like a person is familiar with his sister, right? He knows that people live together, family, you know so well. That's the same thing that you need to know Torah. You should know Torah in that way. Right, that you should tie them on your hands and write them onto your heart. This is again referring to Torah. That it should be, you should be totally involved and enveloped in Torah, so that it's there for you. It's always in front of you. Omer, Tuchutim Biyad Gibor, Kain Bnei Aniurim. Just like the arrows are in the hand of the warrior, so too Torah should be, or the Talmidim of a person here should be, in a way they should be so familiar with Torah the way that a warrior is familiar with his arrows or to shoot his arrows. Omer, and also says Chitzei Giborim Shinunim. Right, that the chitzim of the gibor, the arrows of the gibor, shinunim, that are sharp, but sharp, or so the same play on the words here is just like that. The talmidim should be shinunim or shinamtem should be sharp. Omer, it says chitzecha shinunim amnecha amim tachtecha yipolu. That when your yipolu, thank you. That when your arrows are sharp, right, then nations will fall below you. But again here. Right, the idea being that the shinun over here means a recurring, something that is recurring, or one is sharp with them, then he will be able to answer appropriately. Omer, Ashrei Gever Shemileat Ashpato Mehem. Right, blessed is the person who has filled his Ashpato. Ashpato is the quiver of the arrows, which he stored the arrows in. Right, so lo yevoshu ki dabru etavim bashar. Then he will not back down when he engages his enemies in the gateway. So my etavim bashar. I mean, if we're talking about Torah here, if you're saying this refers to Torah, what does it mean that they're oibim b'shar, the enemies in the gateway? Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba, afilu av ubno, harav v'talmido, a father and a child, or a rebbe and a talmid, shoskim v'torah b'shar achad, that are learning together in one location, nasim oibim zeh zeh, they will become enemies, because they're fighting in Torah, and they're standing in their positions. Meinim zazim isham ashinaseh oibim zeh zeh, but nevertheless, when they get up, or when they're finished, they will love each other for that experience of learning Torah together and being close and sharing the experience of Torah. They will come out in a loving manner. Shenamar et vahev besufa. Right, that's the Az Yashir of the Ali Ber Enula. So that at the end it says today basufa. So when they talk about milchamot Hashem, as Rashi points out over there, sefer milchamot. So the sefer milchamot is the milchama that's ayidei sefer. What's a milchama that's done by a sefer? That is learning Torah. So vehi basufa. In the end, atikar basufa lebit sofa. In the end, they will all be loving. So despite the fact that they are battling in the sefer, in the Torah, that when they get up, they will love one another for being mekayim the Torah together. Tosus on the previous someone asked the question. He says, don't we have a gemara that says that one of the things that a person is allowed to lie about is Talmudo. He doesn't have to say. If you ask him if he's learned this, he doesn't have to say that he's learned it. So how come over here the gemara wants you to be so sharp that you can answer every question in Torah? So Tosus distinguishes between the two. In one, a person is trying to assess how much Torah you know. He asks you, have you learned such a thing? Have you learned this? There you can lie. You can say no, because it's asking a quantitative question, and they're trying to assess, or it's a gaiba aspect. Over here, when a person asks you halacha, and then you answer the halacha, that's not gaiba. Then you don't say, I don't know, right? You don't have to say, lamed l'chshom chalimar any yodea, that I don't know, because you have to know the Torah, you have to know the halacha, so you answer. When someone asks you a straight halacha, you answer it. When it comes to mili the alma, or when it comes to things that are not shayach to the psak halacha, the mesoras of Torah, then you can learn to say any yodea, or you can say that I don't have, you don't have to answer that person that what you have learned. Right, Tanya Rabbanan, this sometime, et ra'ila levavchem, what's with some tam? Some tam. What does some tam mean? Rashi says that it's a shalem, it's whole. She'edom chaser shum hatzalah, that the Torah is missing no cure, no solution. Nim shalah tarak is some chayim, that the Torah is like compared to a medicine of life, right? A mashal adam. God, you know, makag dola, a person gave a big whack to his child, and then he placed his plaster or some sort of bandage on top of it. As long as this bandage is on you, eat whatever you want. Eat, drink whatever you want. You can take hot or cold baths, but you don't have to worry about it because it's bandaged properly. But if you remove the bandage, it'll grow numi, which Rashi interprets as simachim, some sort of rash or some sort of inflammation or rash or infection. But Kach and Kadosh Baruch Hu Amar Lehem Yisrael. So to our scripture says today, so B'ni, Barati Yitzara, I created the Yitzara, which is equivalent to the hitting of the child. Barati Lo Torah Tavlin, but I also gave you the bandage and put on top of it to protect him. That is Torah. Right? V'im Atem Oskim Di Torah, En Atem Nim Sarim Yadol. If you learn Torah, you will not be given over to the hands of the Yitzara. Shenemar. Hello. Right? This is the what Hashem says to Kain. Im Tetiv. If you decide to go on the right way, say it. Right? Then you will rule over it. You will control the Yitzhara. If you don't learn Torah, then you'll be given over to the hands of the Yitzhara. If you don't rule over it, then he's waiting for you. It's crouching. The Yitzhara is waiting to trap you or ensnare you. If you're not learning Torah, the Yitzhara will spend his whole time. I mean, that he'll be... he will waste no time in making sure that things are bad for you. Shnemar ve'alechat shukato. His desire is towards you. The Yetzer Hara is always after you or after ensuring that you trip up. So the only solution is to be involved or constantly involved in Limud HaTorah. But if you want, you can rule over it. Shnemar v'ata timshal bo. Because you will be able to rule over it. The Yitzhara is so bad that even the Creator, even a Kadosh Baruch Hu, called it Ra. Right? That the Yitzhara of Adam is Ra, Minu Rav, is bad from his youth. Tries a new form of attack, a new form of attempts to trip up the person each day. Shnemar, rock, rock, kolayom. Because all they're thinking about all day is kolayom, and the play is on the word hayom, right? It was extraneous. You didn't need to say this, but I must teach you that not that kol hayom means all day long, but rather kol hayom means every day. Yitzhak gets stronger each day and wants to kill him. That the Rasha looks out for the Tzadik and would like to kill him. Had not been for Hashem's help, we would not be able to overcome it. Hashem will not let us fall into his hands. Right, exactly. If this Yitzhara comes and is trying to attack you and grab you, grab him and take him to the base midrash. Because again, we said before that the tavlin, that which stops or overcomes the Yitzhara, is Torah. So if you're having a problem, get over to the base midrash, get involved in Torah. If he is stone, he will melt. If it's metal, it will disintegrate, explode. Shnemar, hello, Kok Dibrik Eishnu Hashem, right? That the Torah, Varai, Eishnu, thank you. Sorry, Eishnu Hashem, right? My word is like the fire, says Hashem, Ukupatish, Yipotzitzel, like the hammer that smashes the rock. Im Evin Hu Nimoach, how do I know that if it's stone, it will melt? Shnemar, Ahoy, Kotzame, Luchudumayim. But anyone who's thirsty should go to water. That stones are worn down by water. So it's Torah, which is compared to water, right, wears down the stone. So the same thing over here, that the Torah will wipe out the stone or the hard things, which is the Yetzer Hara. So the way we have it here, a little gear, the girsa is metal, it'll disintegrate or explode. Problem is, right. So it says in Pratishi Potetzela that the hammer, which is metal, will break the stone and not that the metal itself will break. So because of that, the Rabbeinu Tam changes the girsa a little bit here, and he explains that he says, in Barzelhu mitpapeya, that if it's Barzel, it will be mitpapeya, in Selahu mitpotseitz. And if it's a stone, it will be mitzvotzeitz. Because why? Because it says, look at the way the varai keishu patishu pitzeitzela. She'aish mitpapeya ha-barzel. That the fire is what melts down the metal, and the patish breaks up the tzela. So that's one, the Rashbam. So that's the Rashbam's girso. As the Rabbeinu Tam actually says, no, that the tzela, over here, the real story is that the tzela, when you say patishu pitzeitzela, is that the stone breaks the metal. That you hit on the stone, and it's not that the stone that's breaking, but the metal that is breaking. And that's the proof here from the Gemara, that we're reading it wrong. Yifotzeitz is not modifying the tzela, but modifying the patish. The patish yifotzeitz when it hits the tzela. And that's what, how he explains the gears that we have.
The eternal stone is trying to cause the damage.
Right, so the hammer is the one that breaks up. Very good. That's a nice thought. Right, lelamdo umanot min alan. How do you know? Oh wait, I skipped the line here. How do I know that you have to that a father is obligated to marry off his child or help his child be get married? Take women, have children. Ubanot and daughters, take wives for your children, and your daughters give to men. Square says, Bishlamo Benobiado. When it comes to your son, you can take a wife for him. That okay. Aval bito biadohu? Does he really control, right? The daughter's not the suitor, it's the husband who's the suitor. So how does he control that his daughter gets married? Hafikamarlu, nitan la mide, ulubishia, bidexia, give her items like a dowry and clothing and stuff to wear or adorn herself well, okay, because the kafsala inchi, that men will be attracted to her and will want to marry her, so that the ability of the father to influence the success of the daughter getting married has to do with his hoping her to be attractive and to be and have that which will right, good catch for others out there. So the so that's the obligation of the father to marry off his children. How do you know that a father is obligated in Alan to teach his child a trade? Amar Chizkiya, Amar Kra. Chayim im isha asher hafta. Right, see the life with a woman that you love. So im isha mamashi, if we're talking about that the pasuk literally means a woman, right? So then kishem shchayav lasiu isha kachayav lamdo umanut, just like he is right obligated to marry him off to a wife, there so too he is obligated to provide him chayim. What's chayim? Chayim is umanut, is a trait. It's the im torahi. If you say that the word isha here is a parable to Torah, shem shchayav lamdo Torah, just like a father obligated to teach his child Torah. Again, he's obligated to teach him a trade. The Yishomim Afla Shito Benar, you have to teach him how to swim. My Taima, the square doesn't even have to bring a proof of a pasuk. Right, that is a life skill, a life saving skill that's necessary to give him. Now, review the Miracle Shem Lamdo Umanut, Lamdo Listut. We said before, right, the Gemara said that if he doesn't teach him a trade, it's as if he teaches him thievery or robbery. Listut, Sakadakal, Ilum Lamdo Listut. As if he's taught him robbery. My Benayu. What's the difference between the Tanakam who says that you have to teach him Umanut and Rabbi Yehuda says if you don't teach him Umanut that he is as if he's going to go into the thievery or the robbery business? He teaches him how to be a businessman. And that's the difference between, according to the Tanakam, if he teaches him to be a businessman, that's sufficient. Because he gave him the ability to, right, to make a livelihood. Whereas, right, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you have to give him an umanus. You have to give him a real trade. You have to give him a real profession. Because there are times when there is no schora. There's times where it's impossible to make money in business. Business is not always available. And therefore, he's going to end up in the same problem again. So, right, in Yonat Yoma, so that there are times when the business is low and people can't make money in the business world, and therefore there's having a profession is a It has its benefits. Alright, go mitzvah al aben. So this is the second half of the Mishnah, which is the mitzvah of aben. My call mitzvah al aben. What does it mean, the mitzvah of the father and the son? Any mitzvah that a father has to do for his child, that women are chayav atanya. We just had our brisa from the previous, the first half of the Mishnah, chayav divino, the malo, the pitoto, and yes, their obligations of the father to his child, his son, but not to his daughter. So any malo, right? That their father to this son, and also not the mother to the son, and not his mother. So that can't be the explanation of this half of the Mishnah. I'm going to review the off become our mitzvot av, hamutelet al aben lasud lavim. These are mitzvot that of the father that the son is obligated to do towards his father. Ve'echad anashim ve'echad nashim. Men and women are both obligated. Chayavim. Tani lahad d'tan rabbanah. We have a bracelet that supports this. Ish in the other ish. Right? Ish imov v'yiptirel. We had this limit before. I only have the obligation that up. A son must fear his father. Isha, I mean, I ain't how you know that a woman must do it. Shomer tira'u, when it says in the plural, which is modifying ish, it should have said in the singular, when it says in plural, you can't snipe. To teach you, right, that both a man and a woman are obligated in tira'u in fear of their parents. And you can't tell them, right, ish. So when I supposed to say ish? So I says ish sibek biyad ala sot, isha in sibek biyad ala sot. If nature should achim ala. Mean that the a son has the ability to do this or to provide both kibud and ira towards the parent, but a woman, right, is subjected to marriage and the husband's requirements, meaning that she has to give kibud and ira to her husband, which takes precedence over her parents, and therefore, and also whatever she does belongs to her husband, so she may not have the ability to provide or to do kibud and ira the way that a son would who is not subjected or obligated towards someone else, right, in front or before his parents. If she gets divorced, she goes back to her original status where she's obligated in the kibud aim and ira. And that just because she got married and left her father's house, that doesn't change her status. She goes back to that status as original. Says you should give respect to your parents, and he says you should give respect to Hashem from your wealth. Right, that they equate it kibud aim to kavod of a kodesh baruch hu. Remember, ish imo v'aviv tiro'u, v'nemar tishem al-kacha tira'u, v'otot ta'avot. Right, that parents, there's a requirement of fear or yira towards parents, a requirement of fear towards Hashem. Ish v'akaduv, marat ha'aveim, l'marat ha'makom. Again, the Torah grades equation between fear of one's parents and fear of heaven. Remember, v'kalel aviv imo mo tumat, v'nemar ish ki ha'kalel uka v'nas ha'kato. Again, cursing one's parents and cursing chas v'sham ha'kodesh baruch hu. Right, they are both, again, ish v'akaduv, v'kat ha'aveim, v'kat ha'makom. That the klala of one's parents, chas v'shalom, or chas v'shalom, again, are equated or brought in the same equation. When it comes to hitting, obviously you can't draw an equation because there is no hitting of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it makes sense that they should equate the two. Why? We mentioned this yesterday that there are shlosh shutfim v'adam, tanurban shlosh shutfim v'adam, kadosh baruch hu v'avivim Hashem, his father and his mother. Rashi quotes the Gemara from Nida. It says that each person contributes a part of the physical development and the ruchani development of the child in Israel. But right, we can understand this in shlosh shutfim v'adam both in the creation of the vlad, but also in bringing up a child, and that there is these three people are partners. As much as I'm a chabedet aviv etimo, amar kadosh baruch hu, mani aleichem kilu darti b'neim echiv duni. And the person gives respect to his parents as if Hashem lived among, I say, as if I lived there and you gave me respect. Tanya Rabbi Yoyo Merika, Lui Vidul Ifne Misha Marva Yoglam, which Hashem knew that Shekeh ben Mechabedet Imo Yoter Aviv, that a son gives more respect to his mother than his father, Mesh Mishnah Dol B'Dvarim, either because she takes care of him or she, you know, she gives him presents and does things that will encourage him to love her. Think of Tima Kodesh Baruch Hu Kibud Av, the Kibud Eh, because it says Kabedet Avicha Vetimecha, so father's mentioned first, then mother, right? Think of Lui Vidul Ifne Misha Marva Yoglam, Shebin Bitarib Aviv Yoter Mimo, that a child fears his father more than his mother. That's interesting. Why? Because he teaches him Torah. Because it says ish imo v'aviv tiro, imo before aviv. So again, the one, the natural way would be that a person respects his mother more and fears his father more. So the Torah reverses it to tell you that there's an equal obligation to fear one's mother and to give kavod to one's father. All right, we'll stop over here.
Sorry.